Lord, we do come as members of your body, as individuals, but also together as one body in Christ. And Lord, we sometimes do want to pick ourselves apart and say, well, I'm better or I'm not as good. But Lord, we know that each of us, as in each part of our physical body, is important and has a task to do. And Lord, we pray this day that through this time together and this time of worship, that we may come to a greater appreciation of each other and of ourselves and the roles and tasks that we are being called to perform as being part of the body of Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't heard, it's Super Bowl Sunday. By tonight, the endless hoopla, frenzied advertising, and the football game itself will be over for another year. Super Bowl Sunday will have come and gone for another 364 days. Since our local team is playing tonight, the hype has been especially high around here. You can go to some places in the country where it's not as frantic as it is around here. Just like when the Patriots are not playing, it's not quite as elevated. Each New England news outlet has a team of reporters in Houston to record every word and every movement of players and officials in both pre-game and post-game interviews. And of all the interviews we have heard and probably will hear, we can categorize them into at least about three different types. First, there is the I'm or we're the greatest. Nothing can stop me or stop us interview. And this is usually, but not always, a pregame display as players psych themselves up and hope to psych out the competition. And the second type of interview is usually a postgame display. Typically, the star player praises his teammates and his coaches and throws a compliment to the opposition and then admits that, yes, I played a great game. I was able to do what I do at the best level I can do it. These interviews are really about giving the star some on-camera time. And the third type of interview makes many people uncomfortable. That's the Christian athlete interview. With humility and sincerity, these athletes praise God and thank Jesus for their skill and game performance. They don't boast or brag. They know that they are good. They know they performed well. But they point to a different source and power for their abilities than the coaching staff or the weightlifting regimen or their diet or their individual determination. A network sports reporter who asked not to be identified once said, "I think this type of talk is a disgrace. I don't think it's the right time or the right place. I believe in God, but I'm going to save my prayers for something I consider much more important than a football game." So apparently, it's okay for high ego athletes to yell and gesture, "I'm number one, I'm the best." They can dance and strut their stuff all they want. But if high character athletes give glory to God rather than themselves, if they thank God rather than their genes, they get criticized. Amazingly, believers are often most uncomfortable with this kind of post-game confession of faith. We back off, we button our lips, we look embarrassed. We should be celebrating, for as we read in this morning's text from the Apostle Paul, if one part of the body is praised, all the other parts should share in that happiness. Someone once paraphrased this morning's scripture from 1 Corinthians in Super Bowl imagery this way. "For the team is one and has many players, and all the players of the team, though many, are one team. Indeed, the team does not consist of one player, but of many." If the defensive end would say, "Because I am not a quarterback, I do not belong to the team," that would not make him any less a part of the team. And if the right tackle would say, "Because I'm not a wide receiver, I do not belong to the team," that would not make him any less a part of the team. If the whole team were tackles, where would the running backs be? If the whole team were running backs, where would the kickers be? And if the whole team were kickers, where would the cornerbacks be? But as it is, the coach has arranged the players of the team, each one of them as he chose. If all were quarterbacks, where would the team be? As it is, there are many players, yet one team. The quarterback cannot say to the tackle, "I don't need you." Nor can the defensive ends say to the running backs, "We don't need you." On the contrary, if one player suffers, the team suffers together with him. But if one player is honored, the team rejoices with him. The Apostle Paul was not the first writer to compare the parts with the whole, that is, the players with the team. But in his familiar analogy between the human body and the body of Christ, Paul uses this metaphor to affirm both the diversity and the unity that is in Christ. Variety is affirmed as a God-given gift, but variations in function and design are wholly attributed to God, not to any inherent superiority of one body part over another. The essence of Paul's message can be summed up this way: there are no humble parts, only God-given functions. All must be celebrated. So it is game day. And as members of the body of Christ, the Jesus team, we are being called to play in the Super Bowl of life. And we may find ourselves asking, what part of the body or what position on the team do each of us have? What is our role in the game? In his first recorded sermon, Jesus reveals the four essential plays that are needed to compete in the real Super Bowl of life. First, to bring good news to the poor, those who have little of the world's goods, or those who are poor in spirit. And secondly, we are to seek the release of those bound in all types of captivity, such as habits, prejudice, guilt, or despair. And the third play is to offer new vision to those who are physically blind or spiritually unsighted, and healing for those who are wounded or diseased. And finally, the last play that the Jesus team is supposed to be engaged in is to give freedom to those who are oppressed, used and abused, and those who are marginalized and forgotten. And as Jesus was completing his ministry here on earth, he promised to send the Holy Spirit that would enable and empower his followers to continue in the ministry that he had started. That's where we find ourselves today, engaged in the Super Bowl of our lives, carrying out the plays that Jesus has designed for us. And just like any team sport, we cannot do this alone. We have different responsibilities on the Jesus team. And along with the Spirit's guidance, we need each other if the plays are going to be carried out successfully. May we be encouraged through this time of worship, strengthened as we share the Lord's Supper together, and emboldened to accept the call and challenge to play our very best for the Jesus team. And as the songwriter once penned, "Give of the best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part." Let's pray together. Lord, we are very diverse, and yet we are each very important. And Lord, we do seek to give of our best to you. Lord, some of us may be seeking today what role we may play on your team, what job you may have us to be doing, what play you want us to be doing. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts and minds may be open to your leading in our lives. If one of us, Lord, has wisdom that needs to share that with someone else, open our mouths to do that. Lord, we just pray that this time together may be a time of re-energizing and refocusing our thoughts and our energies, that we are working together as your team here on earth. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.